The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus Christ, God with us, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This short verse from the prophet Micah is one that is very well known in our tradition, yet simultaneously one that I'd never really paid close attention to before. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. It sounds easy, right? It's reconciling in Christ Sunday, after all, a day when we reaffirm our commitments to the LGBTQIA+ community in our quest to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly together as beloved community in Christ. Do justice. Do the right thing. Love kindness. Uphold an important value about how we treat ourselves and others, and walk humbly with your God, knowing that things are difficult. We don't always have all the answers, but there's someone we know we can trust in, always, along the journey. Something I was inspired to do while researching for this sermon was to look at a Spanish translation of the Bible, to see how this week's scriptures might have different meanings in a different language. After all, each translation is indeed its own interpretation, and since we are singing a bilingual setting of the liturgy this season of Epiphany, this is a great moment to lean across a linguistic boundary to see if we can learn something new. The Spanish versions of the reading from Micah that I looked at overwhelmingly used a different phrasing for the last part of this verse, walk humbly with your God. In the Spanish Reina Valera translation from 1960, I found these words, humillarte ante tu Dios. Literally, this means, you, humble yourself before your God. You, humble yourself before your God. But that verb, humillar, is much more complex than the translation I just gave you. Now, like a good Spanish major from undergrad, I opened up the RAE, the most prestigious dictionary of the Spanish language, controlled and edited by the leading Spanish philologists and experts and linguists, all of the people who know best the Spanish language. And in the RAE dictionary, I found many different definitions for this verb, humillar. To bow down before someone of a higher status, to tear down the pride and highness of someone, to harm your own self-worth or dignity. And also, this verb, humillar, sounds like a familiar English word, to humiliate. Indeed, humillar and humiliate share a common ancestry. But what nuance do we gain from this difference in translation? What good news does God, through the prophet Micah, speak to us if we are asked to perhaps humiliate ourselves? I don't think God is asking us to self-flagellate or harm ourselves or tear ourselves apart. What I do think God is doing is inviting us here into a deep introspection about our lives and our identities, and how all the messy parts of ourselves work together to make us whole. So I invite you to think about the verse in this way, using my experience as an example. I remember being in college and starting to meet more and more queer people and trans people, and even starting to date. I'd been active in the church for most of my life, and being faithful has been and continues to be a major part of my identity. More than that, being a queer Lutheran has mattered a lot to my own sense of self-worth and dignity. When interacting with other members of my queer and trans community, though, I felt a tension. I knew that so many of my new friends had serious religious trauma because of the very same religion I count myself a part of. So, I found it easy to come out as queer, but incredibly difficult to come out as a Christian. I've come to understand this tension not as a bad thing, though. And do not get me wrong, this is not a commentary on Christians being oppressed in this country. But it does point directly toward what I believe this verse from Micah is asking us to do. I came to realize that part of doing justice and loving kindness for my peers meant that I had to humble myself and do a lot of deep introspection on my faith and how I chose to practice and disclose it. Now I imagine an imaginary person speaking to me and talking to me and questioning me and saying to me, "But you're a Lutheran. In the ELCA, the ELCA has queer and trans pastors and bishops. It has women as pastors and bishops too. And the Reconciling in Christ program exists to prove where one can go and be safe. Why did you feel this inner conflict?" Yes, these are all good and noble and just things about our church. They embody what it means to live out what God has asked us to do through the prophet Micah. But they also overshadow some difficult truths about our tradition that can't be overlooked, even as we celebrate UniLU's long-standing commitments to the LGBTQIA+ community. For one, the ELCA still has its official theology, the three points of bound conscience around human sexuality, one of which is that people in our churches may see all queer relationships and intimacy as sinful in nature. Reconciling Works has 1,002 communities that are certified as Reconciling in Christ. This number includes campus ministries, synods, and even churches in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. The data isn't specific enough, but at its most optimistic, just over 11% of the 8,900 ELCA congregations that exist are Reconciling in Christ. That means that just over 88% are not. And a queer person cannot necessarily walk into one of those churches and be called a beloved child of God. We must also remember that though the ELCA is the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, we are by no means the only one. And many of our Lutheran siblings in this country, at a denominational level, do not leave any room for queer or trans people in their churches at all. But here is some good news. As much as we recognize today UniLu's promises surrounding full LGBTQIA+ inclusion in the life of the church, we know that there is more to do. There is always more to do. And this work goes beyond our commitments to queer and trans people. Today, RIC Sunday, we rightly emphasize one of our commitments to doing justice and loving kindness. But we know that radical welcome, love, and hospitality mean that we must always work to end all oppression. For indeed, God's call to justice is always good news. God's call to justice is always good news. Humillarte ante tu Dios. Humble yourself before your God. Or the English, walk humbly with your God. Through the first of these, humble yourself before your God. We know that we must do inner work and commit ourselves to lives of justice. But the second is also true. Walk humbly with your God. God is by our side as we do this ever-important work. Jesus Christ is our great companion. The Holy Spirit is our inspiration. What we do here today, reconciling ourselves to Christ for the sake of the LGBTQIA+ community, is important. Do not get me wrong. But I do pray for the day that the words of one of my favorite Eucharistic prayers come to be true. That one day death and greed will be no more, and people will come from east and west, north and south, to share a feast of abundance. Here is where I want to turn briefly to today's gospel. Today we read the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's account of Jesus' life. Each of these blessings is written to flip the script on who one would expect to be blessed in the world. Each of these beatitudes, these blessings, applies just as much now as they did when Jesus first spoke them 2,000 years ago. So today, Jesus says to you allies here in the worship service, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who are merciful, for you will receive mercy. Blessed are you who are peacemakers, for you will be called children of God." And to those who are willing to advocate and put yourselves at risk for queer and trans communities, "Blessed are you who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for yours is the dominion of heaven." And to my dear queer and trans siblings, and to myself, blessed are we when people revile us and persecute us and utter all kinds of evil against us while invoking the name of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad. Our reward is great in heaven, just as it is for the prophets who were before us. Remember, beloved friends, what the psalmist tells us. The Lord has searched us and known us. God accompanies us every day. There is nowhere we can go to escape God's grace, from the ends of the earth, up to heaven, or down to the pit. God made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this we know because God made us. And God looks at creation and calls it good. Let us pray. Dear God, who knows our inmost selves, we come before you as people needing to be blessed. We come before you as people who bless others through our words and actions. We come before you as people struggling to figure ourselves out, who have known ourselves for years, who have just come to know ourselves, and who learn new things about ourselves each day. Thank you for the promises you have given to us, especially that your grace is for all of us. Your grace is given to us freely, without our asking, because you chose us and choose us. You know us. You love us. Strengthen us on our journey as we strive to live into lives of justice, kindness, and humility. Be with us here at UniLu as we recommit ourselves to reconciling in Christ. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our thoughts. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.